Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio's Resurrection Then and Now. We are in the fourth episode, which is Jesus resurrected as high priest. And we've explored this in a wonderful way, opening it up to many people in a new light. Pastor Jay, will you share the high priestly ministry service in Hebrew 8?
Yes, this is a very fascinating thing. So we've just talked about this great high priest that we have. Now we want to talk about the heavenly sanctuary that he operates in. And I think, Cam, when we were off the recording, you noted that this sanctuary in heaven is kind of like a construction zone. I never thought about it that way, but it's in a sense a work in progress that's bringing the human race and the earth back into harmony with God. And I thought that was good. I have also used it as a model. In other words, when I was a boy, I used to play with model cars, and people would give them to us as gifts, and we built them from plastic with glue and painted them and all kinds of things. We had a good time with them. But you know, by the time I got to be 16 and it came time to get my driver's license, I wasn't so interested in a model anymore. Now I'm interested in the real thing, the real car. That's what Paul is saying here. The earthly sanctuary, by which we can learn a lot about the heavenly sanctuary, is a model. It was never meant to be permanent. It was meant to be temporary. It was meant to be symbolic. We're coming back to that word. Symbolic is important. While the symbols may no longer be used, symbols do not do away with the reality. The symbols point forward to the reality. And so that's what we have with the earthly sanctuary given to Moses. It was a pattern. It was a copy. It was a picture, in a sense, of the heavenly sanctuary. So the earthly sanctuary with his priest pointed forward to this magnificent high priest, the Lord Jesus, and the magnificent heavenly sanctuary that he's operating in, and that he becomes the mediator. And this is all set up for one purpose, and that's to bring the human family home in harmony once again with the love of God and the law of God and the law of his love. So that's why, as we're going to start right now with Hebrews chapter 8, and I'm going to read. Now, this is the main point of what we are saying. The main point is always the main point. So we don't want to lose this main point. Now, this is the main point of what we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now, think about that for a moment. Our high priest, who is Jesus, seated at the right hand, that's power, at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens. That's that throne of grace we've been talking about. Now, continuing, talking about Jesus, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, not man. So now in this, we're focusing on Jesus as our heavenly high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And that heavenly sanctuary is far greater than the model that was given to us on earth, the earthly sanctuary. But that model will teach us a lot of things. And so we want to focus on this. Now look at verse 3. It says, therefore, every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. That was true of the earthly Levitical priesthood. Therefore, it is necessary that this one, talking about Jesus as our high priest, also has something to offer. Now, what is he going to offer? Well, he's going to offer his own self, his own sacrifice that he did for us on Calvary's cross. He goes on to say, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. Now, the law there is the law given at Mount Sinai. It was the sanctuary and all of its rituals. And of course, in the middle of that sanctuary and those rituals, was it pointed forward to, was taking care of bringing us in harmony again with the moral law. So you have the rituals of the lambs and the sacrifice, but in the Holy of Holies, under the mercy seat, were the Ten Commandments, and it was bringing people back into harmony with that, those Ten Commandments. That was the whole work of this earthly sanctuary. That is the whole work of the heavenly sanctuary. God, there is an ark there, by the way, that has the Ten Commandments in it. The Bible pictures that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, where the Apostle John, looking into heaven, sees the Ark of the Covenant. Well, at that Ark of the Covenant has a mercy seat, and we're grateful for that mercy seat. And underneath that mercy seat is the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God. And Jesus is in the process of bringing us into harmony by doing several things. One, by forgiving us our sins and justifying us. That's imputing his righteousness to us. And then imparting his goodness to us, imparting his life to us. He comes into our heart by the Holy Spirit, makes a new creation, and sustains us and strengthens us. And he mediates for us between the judge of the universe, our heavenly Father, who also loves us, but he gave his only begotten Son to us as a human being, as the sacrifice, the real Lamb of God, so that his own Son can mediate between us and them. Do you think his Son's going to be successful? He's going to be powerfully successful, marvelously successful. I tell people, look, there's no reason for anybody to be lost. There's no reason for us to be lost. If we're lost, it's because we've done it in spite of the love of God, in spite of him giving his only begotten Son. So we have this marvelous sanctuary. And we want to talk about what Jesus does for us when he mediates between God and heaven. He gives us justification, but he also does something in us. Cam, I wonder if you'd like to talk about what Jesus does in us.
Yes, Jesus works through the Holy Spirit to transform us, to give us his character. And he can do this especially because he has walked in our shoes, now without sin, but he was tempted just as we were tempted, and he's able to draw us. And we're challenged to not be afraid, but instead to come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to Jesus directly. We don't need to go through someone else. As you had mentioned earlier, others can help us, but their value will be in pointing us and helping us to look to Jesus Christ, who ministers to us day by day through the Holy Spirit, through angels, to lead us into the path of righteousness. Now, what does that mean practically? You and I face decisions every day. How are we going to interact with people? What are we going to do or not do? What are we going to think and not think, say, not say? And there's a contest every day, every moment for our allegiance. Will we give ourselves to God, or will we give place to selfishness and sin and go down those pathways and say something unkind or do something that's either mean or even outright violation in another way of God's law? And we face that test every day. And our greatest help, our only help, is calling upon God. Jesus, help me. I want what you offer. And I want you to give me the strength to move forward in faith, to do, to be the person you want me to be.
You know, Cam, thank you for sharing that. So good. I really appreciate it. And this is why we have a better covenant. Many people misunderstand these covenants, but let me just make it very clear what these two covenants are in this context in Hebrews. And this is chapter 8, verse 6. But now he, Christ, has obtained a more excellent ministry. Well, he's our high priest. He's in the heavenly sanctuary, so he has a more excellent ministry than the Levitical priest did, inasmuch as he is a mediator of a better covenant. Why is this a better covenant? Which was established on better promises. Well, let me explain what that means. God made a covenant with Israel, and it was based on the earthly sanctuary, and it was based on the earthly rituals and the earthly Ten Commandments. Those were all symbolic. They all pointed forward to something. But symbols are not nearly as good as the reality. So the old covenant in this context is a context where the symbols were the teachers. The symbols, their sins were forgiven. They confessed their sins to God, but they confessed them over the head of a lamb that would be slain to take their place. The priest operated for them, but they were earthly priests, and they couldn't really forgive sins, but they could point people to Christ. But they were symbolic. That's all been fulfilled. Those symbols have all been fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is the sacrifice. Jesus is the high priest, and he's a high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. So the heavenly sanctuary with the heavenly high priest, with the real sacrifice of Jesus, is this new covenant, this better covenant. So it's not by the blood of bulls and goats, it's by the blood of Christ. And I ask people sometimes, well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the covenant of blood of the bulls and goats, or would you rather have the covenant built on the blood of Christ? Would you rather have the symbolic covenant, or would you rather have the real covenant? Now that brings us down to verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, meaning after the sacrifice of Jesus, after the appearance of the Messiah. And this covenant is the one that he's made with all of us who put our faith in him in heaven, says the Lord. And notice what he does. I will write my laws in their mind and write them on their heart, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, I want to focus on this for just a few moments, because in that earthly sanctuary, symbolic, that pointed forward to the reality, we have the Lamb that pointed forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist sees Jesus for the first time, calls him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's the ceremonial laws. Those are the rituals. Those rituals were built around seven ritual Sabbaths, governed by the sun and the moon as to when they would be performed. Those Sabbath rituals could fall on any day of the week. The whole sanctuary year was built around those seven sabbatical rituals. They're called Sabbaths, but they fall on any day of the week. And where they fall will be governed by the moon and the sun. And so these rituals are symbolic, and they point forward to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, I want to say something very carefully, and I hope you can hear me clearly. Jesus is those rituals. He is those ceremonial laws. That's why we don't celebrate those ceremonial laws. That's why we don't sacrifice a lamb anymore. We don't need to do that anymore. We don't keep those ceremonial Sabbaths anymore. Why? For two reasons. One is they're not needed anymore because we have Jesus, the real ceremonial law, the real fulfillment of that. And number two, they were temporary. And if we celebrated them now, we would be denying that Jesus was indeed the real Lamb of God. Now, there was something else in that sanctuary that also, in a sense, was symbolic, but rooted in reality. And that was the Ten Commandments written on stone. That too pointed forward to Jesus, the real living Ten Commandments. He never broke those Ten Commandments, not one of them. He kept them perfectly. He kept them in his heart. And Jesus is the real Ten Commandments that those Ten Commandments on stone pointed forward. So what Jesus does now in this new covenant, he doesn't write them on stone. No, he writes them in our heart. Now, we may learn about them from the stone. We learn what they are, and that's just fine because that's what symbols do. But Jesus, we look at the life of Jesus, he didn't break any of those. He kept every last one of those Ten Commandments, and he writes every last one of them on our hearts. So the ritual Sabbath and the rituals of the sanctuary, the ceremonies, they took care of the sin problem. They expunged sin. They forgave sin. And that's what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. But the moral law that we have broken and that we need to be restored to, that can only be established in our heart by this perfect Jesus who perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. And he writes his law of Ten Commandments, his law of love, on our hearts. That includes, by the way, the seventh day Sabbath. The seventh day Sabbath is not part of those ceremonial Sabbath rituals. The Sabbath is rooted in the moral law of God. Then there's many discussions going on in our world today about where morality comes from. And atheists, social justice warriors, and all those people, Stalin and the communists, they became their own moral The leaders became the morality. But the human race, those were drastic failures. Nazis and the communists, they're horrible failures because they were not based on the morality of God himself. They were not based on the morals of the Ten Commandments, which is the moral love of God. And so the morals, the true morals for the human race comes from something bigger than us. It comes from God himself, who was our creator. God's character becomes the morals, and those Ten Commandments, all of them, including the Sabbath, represent the moral character of God. So we find the seventh-day Sabbath that's established not by the sun and the moon, but it's established at creation by the weekly cycle that all of us celebrate all over the world. The Sabbath is the stamp of God's Ten Commandments that tells us these Ten Commandments, they're genuine. They were given to us at creation. They were given to us by a God who is moral, who's righteous, and who is love, and his law is love. So when we celebrate the seventh-day Sabbath, we celebrate and affirm that God alone is moral, and from him comes all morality, and that morality is contained and expressed in the Ten Commandments, which are the guardians of unselfish love. If we violate those Ten Commandments, we basically violate the love of God, and that gets us into death and destruction because those Ten Commandments are the laws of life. Life cannot exist without those Ten Commandments. So the seventh-day Sabbath is the stamp on the Ten Commandments that we celebrate, and we declare to God that we believe he is the source of all morals and morality in our world. And that sets the people of God apart. That's why in the book of Revelation, in contrast to those that get the mark of the beast, in contrast, we have this statement: here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. They keep the Sabbath because they recognize and believe that God himself, the Creator, is a source of all morality.
Listeners, you've been hearing Jesus Resurrected as High Priest, the fourth episode in the Resurrection Then and Now series. If you would like a copy of this series to hear a second time, to hear the previous broadcast, you may go to our website, strongtowerradio.org, and go to Resources. You've been listening to Pastor Jay Gallimore, Cam Ferguson, and yours truly, Tom Majeure. Stay tuned for the final segment of Resurrected and Coming Again, the Resurrection Then and Now.